This week's episode is brought to you by Plated. You used to love cooking intimate dinners for that special someone. You'd spend hours leafing through recipe books and driving all over for the freshest ingredients. But between kids and career and commutes, those wonderful candlelit dinners have been replaced by boring, less than nutritious takeout or some gross frozen food that you have to stick in the microwave. Here's my advice. Plated. Plated is for busy people who love cooking but have zero time for shopping. Like me. Last week, I was supposed to go on a date with this guy, and I really liked him, but I was so tired from my day, but I still wanted to see him, so I was so happy that he could come over and I could make him a plated meal. I made vegetable hand rolls with avocado and sesame miso dressing, and they were so good and so fresh and super healthy, and we both really enjoyed our meal. We enjoyed our time together. It's really nice to cook with someone that you like, so it's so great and so easy that you should go to plated.com/lady and choose from these delicious chef design recipes with new selections every week to fit everyone's tastes. The culinary pros at Plated lovingly fill a refrigerated box with just the perfect pre-portioned ingredients for your dinner. If the recipe calls for a half a teaspoon of pepper, for example, it's included. Nothing is wasted. Everything is delivered at your door. Fresh meat, poultry, fish, veggies, spices, everything you need on the date that you choose. And if you're not home for delivery, don't worry. Your plated box keeps everything fresh until midnight the day it arrives. So to prepare these delicious chef-quality meals in 30 minutes or less, go to plated.com/lady and get a free dinner for two with your first purchase. At plated.com/lady, you can get the delicious meal that I got to make for my special someone. So again, go to plated.com/lady and try it out for yourself. It's great.
Here and welcome to Lady Lovin'. Per usual, I'm here with two of my best friends, Julie Hendricks and Greta Teitelman. Hi, gals.
Hey, hey.
Hi. Hi. And today we have a very, very special lady guest on the show, Fiona Byrne. Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, girl.
So Fiona and I worked together recently on an incredible project. It's called Trending On. And I mean, Fiona, just tell us what Trending On is about.
Trending On is how to bring all of the trending projects that you see online to life. So like DIY things for home and fashion and food. And I think we did some beauty ones as well.
Yeah, all kinds of things. So that's where I met Fiona. We shot this in LA. We did 26 episodes. It was a really fun project. So you can see that on trendingon.tv. We're so happy to have you on the show today.
Yay! I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So today we're talking about personal style with Fiona. She is the founder of rumorsmag.com and the burnnotice.com and an interior designer with Teen Vogue. So she's like all about personal style. But I think we should just jump into how our weeks are going. Greta, tell me.
Oh, you guys, I'm having a really good week, mainly because I've just eaten more desserts over the past 5 days than I have in like the past 5 years. I've just decided that, you know, I might die tomorrow, so I'd rather die with a cobbler in my mouth.
But the thing is, you always have gluten-free treats.
Yeah, but that still doesn't make them like less caloric or like less sugary. You know what
also,
I mean?
Also, gluten-free has been proven to be
like kind of worse for you.
And it's just most people are not intolerant to gluten. It's actually a farce.
Right.
Yeah.
I have lupus, so I've like changed my diet because of it, and that's like one thing that I changed. Who knows if it's helping or not, but it's just like what I do.
I feel like you're less bloated after you eat less gluten-free food or whatever. I
don't know.
So,
I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's.
I go through weeks where, like, one week it's like, oh, I'm gluten free, and I'm just gonna. I'm like being super healthy, and then the next week it's like, I love chips.
Yeah,
I am gluten free toast at the butcher's daughter. I'm always like, can I please have the gluten free toast?
Yeah, there's something that I always feel kind of like that like shitty girl asking for gluten-free food a lot of the time, but you know, also whatever.
And the worst is when you order something gluten-free and they're like, oh, we have to tell you that like it didn't, that it actually touched other gluten.
I know. So, and like, then you need to explain and you're like, well, I don't actually have celiacs.
Like, I'm not gonna die,
but you know what's crazy,
gluten-free today.
I have a family friend who has such severe celiacs she literally cannot even be in an environment where there is potentially flour floating in the air.
Seriously?
Yes.
It's like a peanut allergy.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. I know this person who's allergic to carrots, and if you
my god, me too. One of my best friends, he's allergic to carrots, and he will literally die.
If you rub a carrot on his arm, he gets a rash.
Yeah, I one time ate a carrot. I one time ate a carrot and gave my friend a kiss on the cheek like 3 hours later when I saw him, and his cheek puffed up because like I had carrots 3 hours before I saw him. That it's not like I like crazy. Kissed him with a carrot. That's anyway, insane. But whatever. I've been carbing up and I feel really good about it. I had a donut, a piece of cornbread, and a cupcake today. So I'm feeling good.
The bread yesterday,
sometimes
too.
You need it.
Yeah. I do.
You know, in New York City, though, you guys know that I love donuts. This is low.
Yeah.
But like, speaking of donuts and carbs, have you tried like some of the vegan donuts in New York
City? Girl, my life is a vegan donut.
Like, they're so good.
They're so good. Baby Cakes has fucking amazing vegan. I just ate one, a cinnamon sugar gluten-free vegan donut, which is just delicious.
My favorite donuts in New York are Donut Plant.
Those are amazing.
Cake one.
Have you ever had a blueberry
insane.
From them?
No. Or the creme brulee donut puff. Oh my god, it's like insane.
Love, yeah. Love. Yeah. I just like french fries mainly.
Me too. All day.
Well, that was a good loop-de-loo to get back to how Jilly's week is going.
My week is going well. It's actually interesting. My mom went and saw this speaker, Tony Robbins.
Oh, I know who that is.
And so, like, I get this... I didn't know she went and saw him, and I get this phone call, like, 2 days ago. It's like, hi, your mom signed you up for this list. Like, please give us a call back, but, like, no, like, information or anything. So I call my mom, and I'm like, Mom, who's like, did you get my phone number to? And like, what list am I on? She's like, oh, well, like, I really think that you and I should go to Miami and see Tony Robbins and walk on coal.
I'll come.
And I was like, what? Like, I don't even
I mean,
know
that sounds very chill. I don't know who this person is, but I'm down.
But it was so funny. She was like, I think he's going to really help you change your life. And I'm like, well, what do I need to change,
like a life
Mom?
Coach?
Yeah, like, he's
what?
Like a motivational speaker.
For sure. But
and
it was just...
Is she talking literally walking on coals or
yes.
metaphorically walking
literally
on coals?
Walking on literally, coals. Because she's like, I think this is going to help give you like so much clarity and direction. I'm like, Mom, I have so much clarity and direction. Have you seen my Instagram account?
You should also tell her that I think there's lawsuits pending against him over people who burned their feet from walking on.
Yeah, are you fucking kidding me?
I'm looking at Tony Robbins on the internet
right
now.
Yeah.
He is a man with a big face.
He has a big smile.
He's got a big mind. You know, he needs somewhere to keep all those ideas.
I discovered him through Oprah.
He's 6'7".
Yeah.
Damn. Wow. Wait, really though?
He would not fit in my apartment.
I cannot believe that people like go and run across coals.
Yeah, and I guess you then like figure out what the hell you're doing in life or something.
Yeah.
It takes something really hot and spicy to give you direction, I guess.
Wow. Like singeing your feet.
Yeah. I think it's burn wounds.
I think the
will
concept,
really help you figure your life out.
It's embedded in like believing in yourself. Yeah. And if you believe you can walk on hot coals and not hurt yourself, then you can do anything in life, I guess.
I guess it's cool, but it's also just like, Mom, can you not like put me on mailing or phone lists for different companies so like I get these random calls?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Also, yeah. In 2004, he must have been having a really emotional year, because in 2004 he goes by Anthony Robbins on his books.
Oh wow.
And
now it's just Tony.
Now it's Tony. But before, in 1995, he was also Tony, so that's why.
How old is he?
Must have been super
weird.
Emotional. Like,
how old
I'm,
is he?
Call me Anthony.
I bet he's
guys.
45. How old is he?
He is 55.
55.
Whoa, 10 years off.
Well, you know what? Shout out to Tony Robbins. Yeah.
Tony,
shout
if you hear this, Tony. Come.
I hope he changes your life.
I might go, listen, you guys, I might go to Miami with my mother, walk on some coals.
Just do it for the story, Jill.
And do it for the beach time in Miami.
We should just all go.
We should just all go
Why
and walk on coals.
Why don't we all walk on coals together?
And then we'll bring all of our equipment down there and we'll just have a little pee-pee cast with Tony R.
It sounds very evangelical.
Why don't you tell us what's hanging with you?
Let me go over the last few days in
Good
my
things,
mind.
Good things, I think, I hope.
What's going on? Well, I don't know. What do you want to know?
Just like,
how's your life?
Is there something awesome going on, or like, did you cry yesterday?
Did you get a haircut?
I saw on Instagram you ate a really good looking souffle.
What was that? Oh yeah, that was the strawberry shortcake at Baltasar.
Yeah.
Side note, wasn't that good, but I mean, it looked nice, so I took a picture of it.
Okay.
No, I Well, I was looking for a new apartment, as Lo knows, and then I called off the search because the apartments that I was seeing were so horrendous and lol. I was just like, I'm just going to stay where I am. So now I feel happy and rejuvenated to redecorate the space that I'm in.
Well, that's good because that's you.
Yeah.
So you're just going to redecorate the current abode.
Yeah, yeah. It needs, like, I need a new couch and I want a new bed. And, oh, I did that Marie Kondo decluttering thing a few weeks ago.
What is that?
And I thought I was moving. So Marie Kondo is this Japanese decluttering expert, and she wrote this book called The Life-Changing Art of Tidying Up or something. And it's a bestseller in the UK and the US and maybe Australia, I don't know. Basically, she educates you about how to tidy, and you begin with your clothes, and then you move on to
this.
The life-changing magic of tidying up, the Japanese art of decluttering and organizing.
My boyfriend sent me this link like 2 hours ago.
No way.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Huh.
So you start with your clothes, and then you move on to books, if you have a lot of books, a lot of people do. And then you go on to miscellaneous things like kitchen and bathroom stuff, and then you go to papers. And the reason you do papers last is because, you know, when you're cleaning up stuff, you come across cuttings and you stop and you read them and it's all of, you know. But she says instead of holding on to things for emotional reasons, you know, like if you have like, oh, this is the pair of jeans that I wore all through whatever period of my life, I loved them. It's like she says you should just thank them and say goodbye to them.
I agree.
Yeah. It says right here, she says nostalgia is not your friend.
It's not. Good or bad memories, it's holding on to that isn't relevant. Yeah.
I really want to get back to this concept because I think it's really interesting because like my mom died and I inherited, you know, me and my sister, we got her like lifetime worth of stuff.
Belongings.
Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy to have to like, you know, weed through all of these things that like I didn't experience. It's like, I'm not like connected to it, but I knew that my mom was in this way. So it's like having to go through all that stuff and then all of your stuff. It's just amazing how much stuff we can accumulate as people, and then it's just like in your house, and then it's in your environment, and then it just like
it takes
impacts
over.
You.
Yeah, and it stops the energy flowing around, and you know, when you're, I mean, there's things, oh, I'll use that, or I might need that, or
right.
It's like, oh, God. So I basically read it one night at, like, midnight, and I was so excited that I got out of bed and started on my closet and did my whole closet and was up till, like, 4 a.m. And I just threw everything. Like, I must have gotten rid of, over the next 12 hours, 70% of my belongings.
God, can you send
That's
them
crazy.
To my house next time you do that?
I'm a minimalist.
You have such good fashions.
And I don't have, like, anything that I don't use. Like,
there's
true. A few
that
things,
is true.
But
you're good at that.
I'm very much a minimalist, and I'm like, whatever.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Marie Kondo would love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I need this book because I clean out my house probably 4 times a year, like big cleans. I just did one like 2 weeks ago, and I get rid of 12 to 13 bags of
It's very cleansing.
Empty bags, like
yeah,
4 times a year.
It's very cleansing. Yeah.
It's crazy. I like have no emotional attachment to stuff. I'm like, goodbye. Goodbye,
wow.
goodbye. I'm really
blessed, Lo.
I'm so blessed. I'm really good at just like cutting the cord on shit.
Lo.
What?
How's your life going outside of that?
You know what?
Just
guys,
to finish the circle.
I have like PMS, like the Loch Ness Monster right now, which is probably really bad.
Same.
So
wait, I have my period right now too.
I'm just, you know,
I mean, PMS plus period at the same time.
I feel emotional.
I feel
and
you.
So, all right, well, let's get into the subject matter of today, personal style. But first, Fiona, why don't you fill in the listeners on what it is exactly that you do, what your art is, and you know, why you're such a rad chick.
I'm so boss.
Yeah.
Well. So I've always worked in fashion, I guess, and a few years ago I started doing rooms, styling rooms for Teen Vogue.
And, what kind of rooms?
Like teenage girls' bedrooms.
Cool.
And so I went on then to design and host a show for Teen Vogue called My Room Makeover, and while I was doing that, I was like, oh, I should start a website based on this, you know, there's a real niche and a gap in the market. So I started Rumors Mag at the start of the summer, and I've been, you know, gradually shifting my focus to like DIY and interiors, but all affordable, small space, temporary things. Like, I'm not really going to be looking at Carrera marble countertops in warehouses in Brooklyn. You know, I'm more like, right. Hey, what can we do with grosgrain ribbon, you know?
So right. It's sort of like after you've graduated from college, per se, and you're mm-hmm. moving into your first apartment, like you can help consult and give advice on that sort of space.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, you don't own the place, so you're very limited in what you can do. So I just talk about temporary ways to decorate so that when you move out a year or two or 3 years later, you don't have to reverse anything. So you don't have to repaint. Because yeah. You have to ask the landlord too if you have to do major things. What I do, you don't have to ask the landlord because it's so temporary and it doesn't damage anything.
Got it. It's interesting. My thing about like spaces that you don't own and you're just renting, I rent my apartment right now and it's like, I have a hard time buying a lot of stuff for it because I know it's not permanent.
Yeah. So everybody's like, oh, let me just go to IKEA and get whatever. And it's like, you can actually buy things that you love and take them with you. If that's like, you know, pieces of art or, you know, mini sculptures. Yeah. But yeah, like I'm picturing a mini sculpture that I want that's like this Hannah Lydon stack of bagels, you know, the ones mm-hmm. that are on the west side right now. But yeah, art you can buy, you know, you don't have to buy shitty things just because you're not staying in the place. Because if you love a piece, you'll take it with you wherever you go. I mean, yes, couches and things you have to like fit into a new space or not, but unless you're going to buy like within the next few years, you should probably enjoy what you have. That's what I think anyway, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. That's like such an interesting niche, especially for people in New York City, because the majority of people here, at least young people, are renters. Mm-hmm. And it really is hard to kind of feel at home in your space because there's this just temporary feeling about it.
Yep.
And so, you know, like with the last place, the place that I live in now, I made a really big effort to like, you know, design it from the ground up and get all new stuff. And it's really comfy, but like, I'm already thinking about like my next apartment in like 6 months. And I'm like, fuck, what do I do with all this stuff?
You just did your new place.
Right.
You? Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, I don't know what to take with me and like how it's all going to come together. And like, it stresses me out.
When you find the new place, that's when you'll know what'll fit in
definitely.
There.
Yeah.
You know, you have to see the new space before you can decide what stays or goes, I think.
Well, I think this is like a good segue into your personal style. Cause I know that like you have amazing taste, but I've spent enough time with you to know, like it definitely is about like the funnies from time to time.
Yeah.
Like Fiona got all of these like iron on, what are those
patches
called? Patches that are like pieces of pizza.
I love like, iron-on.
Cupcakes. Some other modern things, and they make me laugh. So I guess tell us a little bit about your personal style and how somebody can like cultivate their own personal style in their home, especially if you're like the IKEA generation and you're like, oh, this table will do.
It's funny because like I like to wear stripes and then I also like stripes in my home. So I think that's a good, you know, I like hamburger accessories and then a hamburger beanbag in my house. I mean, I don't have one of those, but you know, if I had room, I probably would. But anything that you like color wise, like I like black and white. My house is black and white. It's, I don't know. It all just goes hand in hand for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's another thing. People like get really caught up on a look and a style. And I don't really think about that. I just pick things that appeal to me, and then when you put them all together, like even in a Word document, if you drag the images in, if they're not, even if they don't, are not all the same style, they all somehow work
together. It's cohesive because it's like your subconscious kind of being like this and this and this, and it'll all work.
Yeah, it looks curated and it's totally accidental. It's just like, because you like it all, it looks like your brain, you know.
I find that like I have a difficult time buying stuff for my home. I know that we're sitting in my home right now and it doesn't look like I have a difficult time buying stuff for my home because we're surrounded by shit.
I like it. You have good taste.
Thank you. You know, I just, like, sometimes I see something and I'm like, oh, I want that. But then it's like, am I going to use it? Where is it going to go? I get so envious when I go into other people's homes and I see they're like, beautiful shelves of like color-coded books and like little knickknacks that are awesome and funny and have good stories. Like, I don't have that, but I've also come to the terms that like that's not the kind of person that I am. And like, I am the kind of person where I have a really comfortable bed and I have a really comfortable couch. And like,
you know, people always think that they if you buy something for your house, that it has to be for life. I don't know why people think that. You don't have to keep it forever. You can keep it for a few years, enjoy it, and get rid of it. But nobody really thinks that. You know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah,
stuff isn't even... Think about what you pay for a handbag, and it's probably more than what you would pay for a piece of furniture sometimes. So.
Yeah, God, you're right.
It's very true. That's
but so the crazy. Handbag is my stuff's house.
Also, when you look at those other people's bookshelves, you don't really feel... I feel like you're not the type of person that would buy a book for its color.
I am the kind of person that... Well, when first of all, if I'm buying a book, like, I'm a reader. I'm a book reader. Yeah. I love reading books. So I have a lot of books that I just read. I'm not the kind of person that buys books necessarily because they're beautiful.
Well, a lot of people who do the color coordinated book thing actually have a lot of books, and they just...
It just happens.
They just set it up in the color way. They don't necessarily... buy books because they have a pink spine or a green spine.
But I do have friends. I do have friends that collect books, and when I go and I look at their collections, they're gorgeous and amazing. Like whenever I go into Dashwood, for example, I'm like, fuck, I wish I had all the money in the world to buy all these beautiful books.
Yeah.
But then I know me, and I know that they would just end up sitting there.
I know.
And
I like my Kindle because I don't accumulate any clutter. When my friend was like, I'm going to buy that Marie Kondo book, and I was like, download it. You're like buying the actual physical book. Although, if you bought the physical book, a good way to, you know, keep the energy flowing is to give it to your friend when you finish.
That's what I do. I give a lot of my books to other people that are like interested in reading a book.
Yeah. It's a nice gift.
Let's talk about the energy flow. Do you believe in feng shui? What is
feng shui?
Feng shui.
Yes.
What is feng shui exactly, and how do I feng shui my brain?
You can get a feng shui master.
Yeah. What? Or you can just look up the feng shui basics online.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did, and I changed a few things, and I definitely felt like when I changed where my bed was,
it changes your energy.
Yeah, I remember feeling funny when my head was laying facing west, and it says that you should always sleep with your bed facing east, and so
facing
I did
east.
And I felt like
my bed is facing east.
Yeah.
What if you don't have a wall in your room that enables you to have your bed face east? Then what do you
do? It has a solution. I don't know what it is. Also says you shouldn't have stuff under your bed because the energy has to flow at night. So beds with drawers under them, they feel heavy. You can get ones now though from West Elm that have a drawer, but they also are on legs. So you still get the energy flow. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, in New York, you kind of got to put a lot of shit under your bed because you don't have 12 closets.
Yeah.
Wait, I would like to say, Jilly, your head faces east when you sleep, and Lo, you are on the east side of your apartment.
You're right. My bed faces...
I have no idea where I am.
My bed faces
east to west. I don't even know.
So your feet are facing south, your head is facing north, but your physical bedroom is on the east side of your apartment.
Yeah, and I'm on the east side of New York. So that works for me.
Maybe that's why they built your bedroom there.
Maybe. They were feng shui.
They just wanted to make sure it was waiting for you.
How do you say this word?
Feng shui.
Why do I think it's feng shui?
Because it's F-E-N-G.
I went to a feng shui master in Singapore.
You did?
What?
I did.
What did he teach you?
Oh my God, you guys, so much crazy shit. Basically, measured like, you know, all the different elements, your fire, your metal, your water, all these things. What I really took from it is it's very important for me to surround myself with the color blue, which after I heard this, I wear blue all the time. Yeah, I'm attracted. I wear a lot of blue. I'm attracted to things that are blue. My bedroom, my sheets are blue. My bed, my top sheet is like gray blue. I have blue.
So did you choose all these blue things without knowing the blue?
I didn't really realize it. And then like, it's just that little thing that's stuck in my brain. Cause now I just notice I'm just attracted to blues and that, I don't know, all shades of blue. I love blue. He also told me, though, that I should leave the United States in 2016 because I'll die here, like, in a disaster.
What?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't like him. Maybe you should wear red
that
instead.
That sounds really weird.
I know. It was very weird. He just said that, like, he also told me that I was going to live to be in, like, my late 70s, which sounds very chill. Fine with that.
What kind of a disaster? What?
I don't know. He told me that, like, there would be a disaster that would happen and that I would be much more happy, like, living in another country. Maybe he wanted me to move in with him. I don't really know. But I do know that what he said about the color blue was true. And I feel better with blue around me. So that's really all that I'm taking from
it. Let's just disregard the rest of the conversation that you had with your feng shui master. Feng shui master.
You're going to get it low.
In Singapore.
We'll practice.
I'm going to Singapore soon, but I'm definitely not going to see that feng shui master. Wait, you told me to go see that feng shui master.
Go.
I don't want him to predict my death in 2016.
Oh, it's with a grain of salt. With a grain of salt. That's always just fascinating.
I agree.
He'll tell you like what color to wear, and then you'll wear like all one color, and Greta will be wearing all blue, and I just won't hang out with either of you anymore.
Stop. We'll find you.
Oh my god.
I think it's really interesting that you would design teenagers' rooms, because I think that your room is a teen. Like, if I could go back to my teen room and just like be in it for a night, I would laugh and also cry, but also laugh.
You guys, they're always in the rooms, teenagers.
I had a picture of Sean William Scott on my bathroom mirror in high school.
He was your desktop on your computer.
Also, let's get him on the show.
And he lives, at least he used to live
around here.
I did see him at the Equinox.
Yeah.
That he was running on the treadmill every day.
Literally, my bedroom was white. And then I just had pictures of Sean William Scott.
Who was his girlfriend?
Black and white photos.
She was like a Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah, they were engaged and then they broke up. I know this, I don't know, but
he's
I do.
He's a super nice guy.
Yeah, he's very so nice. Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I just know that Jill had Sean William Scott as her desktop.
I did.
Literally in like the fifth grade when you used to have to dial into AOL, we would be sitting in Jill's bedroom. And it would be making that exact noise, and I would just stare for hours at that man on the computer.
What was I want to go around the circle and talk about what our rooms were like as teenagers.
Who did you have hanging up in your bedroom?
Okay. I didn't have anyone hanging up in my bedroom. I never had any posters of pop stars or celebrities.
Were you not allowed, or were you just not interested?
I just was too cool to do that.
Okay.
Really? I just was like, I don't really feel a reason why I need like TLC in my walls. Or like,
did you have a telephone in your room?
I did have a telephone in my room, and I liked to paint my room a lot. So like, my room has been light pink, it's been red, it's been blue, it's been white, all kinds of colors. Like, and I used to, oh my god, my parents' house growing up, I had a loft in my bedroom. So I had this like crazy rickety wooden little ladder.
Jill knows that.
That was like drilled into the wall that only a very small human could get up and down. And then there was this cutout like in the top of my bedroom off to the side. And it would be so hot up
yes,
there.
Yes, it was.
Would you do naughty things?
Too hot.
Well, that's where I would like hide booze and stuff. Was
it
like
was too
up in the
hot.
Loft. But oh it was too hot
to hang out.
Yeah, so I thought it was cool in theory, but like the it was not a practical.
We should
loft.
Have bought a fan for it.
Yeah, but there was no connectivity
that's
to
true.
Electricity up there,
and it was like a pocket. Like you could like slide in and out. Like that was it.
That sounds exactly. like fun.
And then. At one point in my room, I had windows that you could crank open and crank shut, and I used to sometimes sneak out of my window because like my room was on the ground floor and it was next to like the pathway out to the front of my house. So sometimes I would sneak in and out of that window.
Oh my god, that's so funny!
I snuck in inside that window. Once.
I've always wanted a. I grew up in an apartment, so I've always wanted a. I've always fantasized about like a window sneak in, sneak out scenario, and I've never had that.
I only did it at Lowe's house.
Yeah,
my sister scaled to the second floor up the bathroom pipe one time to get in.
Wait.
I think she was drunk as well. Like, what the hell?
Where in Ireland are you from?
I'm from Tullamore, which is in the Midlands.
Cool. And is it like green and magical?
It's very, very green. It's cute. Yeah.
What was your room like growing up?
Well, when we first moved into the house, I shared with my sister. And oh my God, I hated it so much. Her and my mom picked out pink floral carpet, pink floral curtains,
wow.
pink floral wallpaper.
Pink floral carpet?
It was... so vile.
Do you have a photo of this?
Oh my god, probably not. I guess we didn't take that many. There might be one. I mean, god, it was anyway. But I have a photo of my next incarnation of the room after my sister left and left home, and it was totally my taste. It was red carpet, white walls, like it had like, remember borders?
Yes.
So it had a like a kind of a film strip, and it had like lipstick and like record player.
Cool.
And,
like, all like in like black, white, and red.
Yeah. And it was, and then, and all of the like the duvet and the curtains and stuff were all like primary colors. It was really fun. It was like the ultimate like teen room. I loved it. We didn't have a phone though. We didn't have free local calls in Ireland. So.
Right.
I couldn't have a phone in my room.
It was really expensive to make a fucking phone call in Ireland.
That's crazy.
So, I know. Yeah.
But wait, 2011, you didn't have a phone in your room?
No.
So all wait,
I thought all
no
Americans
TV, no
did.
Phone.
Wait, Jilly, you just had you just had your bell. I'm just envisioning Jilly's teen room. I just being like a bed and stark white walls with just one photo of Sean William Scott.
No, Jill had a really cozy room growing up, and at some point you had two beds at your room.
I know.
I don't remember why, but
I wanted a phone so bad. All the American teenagers in the movies had phones.
I had a Coke phone.
Remember the clear phone? You did.
I had a Coke cam phone in my room. I had two versions of my room. My room till I was like 13, actually three. It was really cool. It was blue walls with bright yellow doors, and then my closet door was covered in scratch and sniff stickers.
Sick.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh my god. Did you poison yourself before you went to sleep every night?
No, but I also had two turtles growing up named Gilbert and Filbert, and they were on top of my like white bookshelf, and it was really cool. That room was really cool. I had green curtains with these like big wiry butterflies I could like twist onto them. That's what I remember from being like a kid.
Where did you guys get all your stuff for your rooms when you were young?
I don't know.
God, I have no idea.
But my teen room...
I got my Sean William Scott photo out of a magazine.
My teen room was very like teen angsty. I like went through things in high school. I had like at one point I had like a poster of like Che Guevara on my wall. Oh, I had a bunch of like,
oh my god,
yeah, I had a bunch of growing up in DC, you guys, yeah, very politically true. Informed. That I had so like funny. I had like end war like protest posters everywhere.
Yeah. Peace signs.
I had a bunch of like black and white like emo photos of like me and my friends. I also thought it was like really edgy to start taking like topless photos of my friends. Oh my, and I had a bunch of like nudes of my friends all over my walls. My dad was like, "What the fuck? Like, what is wrong with you?"
You sound like, did you he's, like try not to look? Like, this is so awkward. How can I reprimand her?
Did you? I know.
Did you see that movie called Dick about Richard Nixon?
Yes, I love that movie.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm picturing Greta growing up and like flashing people and being like.
Honestly, so I grew up in Georgetown in DC, and the apartment building that I grew up in was right on the water, and it was like right above what's called the Whitehurst Freeway, where like cars would just like zip by, and you look at the bridge, it takes you to Virginia. And the amount of times that like my friends and I would just stand in the window facing the Whitehurst Freeway and just flash people was like all the time, just to see who could see us.
I've never flashed a moving vehicle.
You should try.
I think I need to do this in my life.
New York is a great place to start.
I
there
feel
are
like
so
there's
many.
Too much traffic. You know what I mean?
Wait, do you guys remember like the really fancy rich kids would have a second line on the telephone that was like their line?
Yes, I was just about to bring this up. Yes.
And you could even, when you were leaving a message for someone, be like, press 2 for Greta and like leave her.
My friend.
I forgot about that.
Talk about an American thing. My friend Sam was my first friend who had his own line, and I think I still have that line number memorized, but we used to talk on the phone for like hours on his private line.
Oh, all I wanted to like, do was talk on the phone to my friends. I just wasn't allowed.
My dad wouldn't let me have a private line because he was like, I want to answer the phone. I was like, okay.
To, like, see who's calling.
Yeah.
You're like, it's my drug dealer, Dad. I'm 7.
I'm like, all I have is Sean William Scott. That's it.
That's so funny. Has everyone here lived with a dude before?
I have.
I mean, I didn't move in with somebody, but I stayed with them for a very long time until I moved to New York.
All right. Well, how do you break up with someone and get your furniture back without it turning into a nightmare? Or, like, even better question, how do you, like,
how
join
do you,
your stuff? How do
yeah.
you merge?
I feel like...
How do you get rid of all your boyfriend's crap that you think is ugly?
Oh,
don't tell him.
Jersey photos. Okay, I dated don't this guy. And he, like,
just do it?
Yeah.
And he had a jersey, like, jersey framed photos. And I'm like, okay, jerseys remain in the office, in my opinion. Like, if you have a jersey framed, like, that's not part of the home.
Or you can get a storage unit and say, let's put these in the storage unit because everybody forgets about that stuff.
That is very true. A storage unit is like the cemetery for shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess, like, so you think storage unit is the best way to go? But like,
yeah.
What if they get their feelings?
I think
really
you say, "Hey, this would look great in your office." That's what I did.
Or, "Hey, like, this would look great in the garbage."
What if you don't even want it in the office?
No, his office, like his work office.
Not
inside the home. I'm just like, no, this piece is not part of our home.
I mean, men are weirdly attached to like fugly sofas that they have in their apartments. I don't understand.
Men also love tchotchkes.
Yeah, yes, they really do.
Men love tchotchkes more than women. They're like, look at this funny coin that I got when I went to a baseball game with my dad in 1982. It's like, shut up. Or it's like, look, this is a toothpick that I used the night that the Celtics won the championship. It's like,
it's always sports related too. Anything
or
sports
some
related,
weird
I just
shit.
Don't really like want
or
in
they
my
have,
living
like,
space.
Terrible art framed to oh. Disgusting
I know,
frames.
I know.
I will.
That might be the worst.
Yeah,
it's.
They shouldn't. I mean, I don't really know like how you would. I guess just one day when they're out, just get rid of it all.
Yeah. I do think it's exciting though, like when you're with someone and you're living in a place together for the first time, and you're like getting furniture together, and you're like, mm-hmm. I like this, and he's like, I like this, and then you like decide on something great. I feel like that's a very good feeling.
I think that's an important part of moving in with someone successfully. It's like
a bonding experience.
Yeah.
Like when my ex-boyfriend lived in this apartment, I always felt bad for him because like this apartment never could feel like his own apartment because none of his shit was here. Like the only thing of his that was here were his clothes. So it's like really difficult, I think, to make that environment feel like your home when you don't have any of your stuff
when
with you.
When you move in together into a new place, that's when you're able to figure it out.
Yeah. I always feel like that's better because it's so much, it's sort of a clean slate.
Totally.
You were saying that you specialize in like designing small spaces.
Yeah.
I think that small space design is something that I'm like really, really, really interested in.
We're forced to be interested in it. I saw something the other day where people, there was, God, where did I read it? It's like, we're not forced to live in small spaces in New York. We choose to. And I was like, that's actually not true. We are absolutely forced to live
that's
in small
bullshit.
Spaces.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
We choose to? I choose to spend like, X amount of dollars a month to live in a shoebox.
Yeah,
like, what?
No. I was like, that is who? Oh, my God. Some people. But it's not like, you know, Tiny Houses of America where somebody in Oregon wants
but,
to, like, live in a
but
shed.
But those are... Did you see that documentary called Tiny...
No.
Tiny about this couple that like built, you know, he like bought a plot of land in like the middle of nowhere, Montana, and built a tiny house. But those tiny houses have like really beautiful design.
They
have like, it's a whole thing. It's a whole trend now to live in like a tiny space. And
see, I couldn't do that. I couldn't live in a tiny house like that. I would freak the fuck out.
I understand wanting not wanting to have a ton of stuff, but if you're going to live in the middle of nowhere, you can have a spacious place and not fill it with lots of things.
But I don't think that people, I think it's really hard for people to do that. I think it's really hard for people to see a space and to not fill it for some reason. That's why when people go into like homes that are decorated minimally, they're like, oh, this space is so stark. But I think you just need to like change your mentality and be like, oh, this is still homey, even though there's
it just feels
just
so,
a ball.
Yeah, it feels so nice and airy when there's less stuff happening. It's
yeah.
like you can breathe, you know? Again, with the feng shui, the energy can flow.
Yeah,
you know?
I love a clutterless space.
I also love a bedroom that just has a bed in it.
Me too.
Like, I don't ever like leave my computer or stuff in my bedroom. I don't have a TV in my bedroom because I feel like when I'm sleeping, I just want to sleep. And then everything else can be done outside.
What about a bedside table?
Well, you have with a
I
lamp.
Have that because I do. I'm trying to drink a lot of like liquids lately,
that
so I need something to rest
joke.
It on.
Yeah, no, but
I need a sex drawer.
But you need to do in feng shui though, if you're trying to bring love into your life, is have two bedside tables. And so don't push your bed against the wall if your room is big enough. Have like space for another person to, you know, have their bedside table and the lamp and stuff like that. Apparently it's
so
something.
If I want a boyfriend, I need to buy another side table.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need two bedside tables,
what a
Jillian.
Thought.
That's maybe the problem.
And also,
that's a problem in my life. That's exactly why I don't have a
boyfriend. I'm actually single because I don't have a bedside table.
No, in my apartment now, my bed is up because I have a very, very small bedroom. One side of my bed is up against a windowsill. Uh-huh. And it's like a nice, it's like a ledge. And so I like put the remote control there, but there's no plug over there for my phone charger. So I just never charge my phone at night. And then the other side of the bed, there's not enough room in the room for a bedside table. That's like how small it is. And a queen size bed goes there. The door like opens into my bed.
Right.
So my boyfriend doesn't have a bedside table or anything, and so he has to like put his phone across the room, and it just like feels like not homey.
Yeah,
like he doesn't have a space there.
Yeah,
you know. So I think I totally agree on having two bedside tables, one for each person in your bed.
I read it on a feng shui thing.
Yeah,
website.
I like that. All right, what are your top five DIY tips?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I know shit about DIY.
DIY is my...
Okay, well, my
yourself.
Number...
Self. The only thing I DIY is myself. Yeah.
My favorite DIY thing to... tool or product to have is liquid starch, because
liquid starch? This is, like, going way off what I thought you were going to say.
Because you can... I've put, like... sheets on the wall, like in like made like an upholstered wallpaper using sheets and liquid starch, and like stripes using ribbon, and like faux moldings using ribbon, and it's amazing. Your sheets, for example, will stay on the wall looking like wallpaper until you move out. Then you just take them off. They just come right off.
How do you stick them? That's like what you use for ironing, right?
Yeah, so you basically... What? It's a liquid...
I have no idea what's happening right now.
It's not a spray. It's, you buy it... I bought like a gallon of it on walmart.com or something for like $2.49. And
is it toxic?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. But you just use a roller like for painting and roll it on the wall, put the sheet over it, smooth it out, add another layer of liquid starch, and it'll stay there for life.
Yo. Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Does it dry super fast? Do you have to like work quickly?
No, you can just keep, if there's bubbles in it, you can just keep adding as much liquid starch as you need until the bubbles go away. It's really, really amazing.
Whoa, cool.
Okay, what's number two?
Let me picture my apartment. Number two, I mean, it's not really a DIY, it's just a little like renter's tip, is to switch out the knobs and on the cabinets and the handles.
Oh, yeah, that does make a big difference.
Yeah, if they're like, because, you know, those standard ones are really like...
ugly and shitty.
Yeah, so you can really change the look of something by doing that.
That's a great idea.
Washi tape is really good, too, for creating like, you know, temporary... picture frames and things if you know can't hammer nails into the wall. I don't think you can do that in dorms. What else?
I guess you don't have to come up with five.
Okay,
check out rumorsmag.com.
Those three are great.
Yeah, liquid starch is crazy. That's nuts.
I didn't know about that. I think this is a good segue into sexploration.
Oh, I'm so excited for this exploration this week.
Jill?
All right, guys.
What are we talking about?
This is Jilly speaking, and I just wanted to let you know that I have this app called Whisper, which I'm sure a lot of you out there have, and it lets you know, people just can type what they're thinking.
It's like secrets.
Yeah,
right?
Into the world.
Oh, I've heard of it, and it goes away.
It doesn't go away. Just sort of like people can like it.
Are they scary?
On it, share it. Sometimes it's like whatever you want.
I feel like this is Ashley Madison though, and it'll all come out in the end.
Like, what if someone's like, I killed someone.
Well, someone with the app.
Sorry,
would
I was like,
then call
and like
the
report it.
Yeah, but
and
people
then
are
somebody
like,
somebody would write a screenplay.
People are
about
like,
it.
Oh, like I'm afraid of cockroaches. Like, or like today I did this, or I don't know. Just whatever
right, so
you want to say.
People just whisper their whispers.
I like Sean William Scott.
So yeah. So basically, there's a whole section about DIY sex toys. Mm-hmm. That people have whispered. And so I'm going to read y'all some.
These are amazing.
And Greta's going to make a special sound after each one.
Okay.
I used my friend Scrunchie as a cock ring and returned it to her.
This is just going to be dialogue.
Who still has scrunchies?
Exactly.
Yeah. First of all, like, where's my scrunchie?
I mean, I know. I don't know about that
also,
one.
Also, how big is your cock that a scrunchie, like, was it doubled? Was it tripled? Or was it just the scrunchie on the dick? Was he just, he could have used a fucking rubber band.
I don't really know. I don't get that one. Okay. I once used a tampon as a butt plug.
Oh,
no.
I think that's something people do all the time.
Really? But it doesn't really, like...
I thought it was just really... for nosebleeds.
No, that's a that's a gay man thing to do.
Oh.
If they, you know, if there's... if their rectum is, like, whatever, not collapsed, but you know what I mean? They use... sometimes they have to use a tampon up there.
Oh, my
gosh.
I heard
about that from my gay friends.
I like butt plugs, and I don't think that like a tampon would have the same sort of.
You like butt plugs? What are they for?
It just feels like good and weird. I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Like, I haven't ever really like had sex with a butt plug, but I've definitely put a butt plug in my butt.
Wait, just to see what it was like.
Yeah,
yeah.
But a butt plug, like, does it stay there if you're having sex?
Yeah,
because
it's plugged.
Because it's plugged. Yeah, because it's plugged. Yeah, it just stays. Because, like, your muscles just, like, it's like how a tampon just stays in your vagina.
I don't know. Anything butt related will always involve poop, and that's not cute for sex, I don't think.
Yeah.
And that's just my opinion.
But you know what they say?
Girls get colonics before they take it up the butt. A lot of them that I know do.
A lot of girls.
Those, like, the long list of girls that come and talk to me about their
True. A lot of girls.
Name, like, four.
I know girls.
But.
I know girls that love butt sex, and they use the same thing, like an anal douche. It's like literally just a thing that you put up your butt, and it's like water.
But what is an anal douche?
it's you just.
I imagine it's a lot like a normal douche.
Imagine a gigantic thing of eye drops with a big spout on top that goes into your ass.
Moving on to the next one. This one's kind of interesting. I made a pocket vagina out of two Ziploc bags full of laundry soap, saran wrap, and tape, then threw it in the microwave and used cooking oil as lubricant.
I do not follow.
I don't understand.
Okay, wait.
Vagina.
No, somebody basically made a vagina and put it in the microwave to make it warm and feel like a vagina, and then stuck a stick in it.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's like, I made a pocket vagina out of two Ziploc bags full of laundry soap, tape, and then threw it in the microwave used cooking oil as a lubricant. Mm-hmm. That is, like, very, like, DIY.
I'm more concerned with why he chose to use cooking oil as lube when he could have just used lube.
It's DIY, girl.
It's DIY, yeah.
Oh,
DIY. Just didn't have any.
Could lotion count?
What maybe he didn't
have
oil?
Some men don't have lotion in the house.
That's weird.
I used my lightsaber to masturbate.
You know,
that's a woman.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. One time I stuck a highlighter in my vagina when I was, like, in the sixth
TMI.
Grade.
Too much information. Moving on.
Okay.
Okay, now this just came out. Is it wrong to use a hot dog instead of a dildo? Because I don't have one.
I mean, I assume it's frozen, right?
I mean,
I would hope, or else it's going to break off.
Listen, I did read a story that someone got a banana stuck once in their vagina, and they had to go to the doctor to get it pulled out.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
like, probably the... I was going to say, did a piece of the banana break off up there because they didn't do... Anyway, I don't know.
This is just crazy because there's so many germs on this next piece of furniture item in your house. I masturbate using a remote control.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, what?
I'd say that's common. In fact...
Common?
In hotel rooms. I bet people do it all the time.
Shit.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? That's disgusting.
Yeah, the hotel room remote controls are absolutely filthy.
Oh, my God. People do that?
Darn, yeah, and you
I
know
love
what?
To watch TV.
Yeah, and you know, if they're not masturbating using it, they're probably masturbating watching porn and then touching the remote control.
Ew, stop.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you guys, I'm not disgusted by anything, and I like how the remote control is what gets me.
This one's kind of funny. I've used a spatula for my kitchen as a makeshift whip during sex.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's kind of like
fine.
Light.
Like a paddle.
That's a light one.
Yeah. Fine.
Just give us one more. One more good one. What is
Hold
that
on,
face,
guys.
Jilly?
Okay. Well, it's just someone wanted to say something, so I'm just going to read what they said. Mm-hmm. I beat off in Kroger parking lots and squeeze my nipples with hot metal clamps.
Right. Well, that's a fetish.
I don't really know, but that's just what we're going to end with.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for that very interesting sex exploration.
The thing about this is anything can be a dildo if you're brave enough.
That's true. Gross.
Please don't use the remote control, though.
Gross and horrific. Unique.
Also, be careful when you put any kind of oil in the microwave because you might burn yourself.
I would just say be careful out there in general, guys. That it sounds as like someone could end up in the emergency room.
Yeah.
And I agree.
It's more embarrassing than painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope that our homegirl, musical recording artist JoJo, was not listening to that because that might scare her away, especially the highlighter comment.
Oh, but, true. Oh, you know, sorry. Is that scary?
What? Well, I don't know. It's okay. We're moving on to Lady Lovin'. You guys know that we shout out a lady that we love at the end of every single show, and that's where we got the title for this fantastic show. And, you know, JoJo was our Lady Lovin' of the week a couple weeks ago, but she's our... Lady Lovin' again, because we're officially starting a campaign to get JoJo on the show.
And if you want to join our campaign, I guess we should probably start a campaign hashtag.
Maybe we should start our own Twitter, get JoJo on Lady Lovin'.
I think that
JoJo on the show.
JoJo on the show.
JoJo on
hashtag
the radio.
JoJo on the show.
Hashtag JoJo on the show. I'm pretty sure her Twitter handle is I am JoJo.
I think
so
it is, yeah.
We love you, JoJo.
The campaign has officially begun, and JoJo, the next time you're in New York City, please come on the show.
And from here on out, till you come on the show, we will be shouting you out every week.
Every week.
Because we love you.
Because we love you. All right, guys. Thanks so much to Fiona Byrne for being our very special guest this week.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, thanks for listening. Subscribe.
Thank you.
We'll see you next Monday, every Monday.
Peace out, y'all.
Bye.